and ask you to open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 24. We'll continue on in our Bible survey. Last week, we looked at the offering of Isaac. Last week, we looked at the fact that Abraham, by faith, took Isaac to that place that was appointed to him by God and offered him as the Bible describes it. Now we realize he didn't actually take Isaac's life. And I've said many times it wasn't Isaac's life that the Lord wanted. It was Abraham's heart. And he had that. And so we looked at that last week. We've been mentioning that we're now dealing in the book of Genesis with the Hebrew history. We dealt with human history down through chapter 11, and then beginning in chapter 12 and the rest of the book of Genesis, we're dealing with Hebrew history, the history of the Hebrew family, the children of Abraham. And all of this, you can't emphasize this enough, all of this is God's working out that line all the way to Christ. From and even before Abraham, but it was announced with Abraham, this lineage through Isaac, not Ishmael, Isaac. Isaac through Jacob, not Esau, but Jacob. And this goes on down all the way to Christ. Well, it is an amazing thing to see how the Bible fits together when you stand back and look at it as a big picture. Many, many times it's easy to look at the Bible up close in a passage and forget to step back and see how it all fits together. And tonight we're going to look at Genesis 24 primarily and the calling of a wife for Isaac. Well, if Isaac's going to have some children, he's going to have him a wife. And we read the passage tonight, very remarkable passage of Scripture, how that Abraham sent his servant to go get a wife for Isaac. And what we see in this is God's amazing plan continuing to unfold. Isaac is probably something in the neighborhood of about 40 years old. Isaac has just lost his mother. Sarah, in chapter 23, has passed away. And about 3 years have passed. Abraham would then be, if Isaac is 40, Abraham's 140. And so, just for reference, this passage starts out that says Abraham was old and well stricken in age. He does live 35 more years. If he's 140 now, and Isaac is 40. The Bible reveals to us towards the end of this, well, it's in the next chapter, chapter 25, that Isaac dies at 175. So assuming the folks that have made the chronology of Abraham and Isaac's life are close, and Abraham is now about 140, he's going to live another 35 years. Of course, he's going to get married again. Anyway, and he's going to have some time there. And so when we read here that he's old and well stricken with age, we want to remember that he's not on his deathbed yet. He still lives 35 or so years. So we wanted to get into this passage here in Genesis 24. And so open your Bibles with me to that. We'll read a little bit, and then make some comments. Abraham was was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Now the servant in chapter 24 and verse 2 is unnamed. It is assumed that it is Eleazar, who we met earlier in Genesis. In Genesis chapter 15 and verse 2, we met Eleazar. And it's only a theory. And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus? It is assumed, and it's only an assumption, no way to prove yea or nay, but it's assumed that this is Eleazar that God has, that Abraham has sent to go and find a son for Isaac. It's kind of an interesting passage of scripture to think of, for us as Westerners, to think of dad, hey gals, think about it, dad sends a guy to go get your husband. And guys, dad sends a guy to go get your wife. It's kind of an interesting thing to think about in this culture, for us in our Western culture. But he has put down some groundwork here that do not find for my son a wife of the daughters of the Canaanites. And there's an obvious lesson for us to learn here that when we think about this kind of a relationship, this lifelong relationship, that we should always start our searching in the right circles of like-minded people, of like faith and order. And I mean, I've said even to, there were another couple that it came to me once and they wanted to get married. One was a Catholic, one was a Methodist or something. And I said, look, this is a huge problem that you're entering into the equation with already, because you're not like-minded on this thing. It's not necessarily just that I think I'm right and everybody else is wrong. It's just from a pragmatic standpoint, a big issue. And probably every one of us knows where Mrs. John Doe goes this way and Mr. John Doe goes that way on Sunday morning, you know, and it's a mess. So Abraham has instructed his servant, whether it was Eleazar or not, to go and get a daughter get a wife for his son, Isaac, of the daughters of my country and my kindred, verse 4. Very, very important. Well, one of the things to think about, you pull out a map and look at, and this may have been a 500-mile trip for Eleazar, or whoever it was. I assume that it is, so I keep saying that, and I don't mean to imply that that's for sure, but whoever it was, it's probably a 500-mile trip. And, you know, we didn't, in this day, hop in your car and set cruise control and get there. This was a big deal. But he's telling him to go, and he goes. Verses 5 through 8 then. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I needs bring thy son again into the land from whence thou comest? If I can't get anybody to come, should I take Isaac over there? You know, maybe he can get a little more progress than me. Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house, from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman be not willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath, Only bring not my son thither again. Interesting thing about verse 7, I mean, as you read that, what I see when I read verse 7 is an old man full of faith that had been around the block a dozen times. And Abraham said, you know, it's almost like Abraham could have leaned over to the servant and said, look, God called me out of the land. God did this, God did this, God did this, God did this. God can do this. This is no issue. This is no problem. Don't worry about it. And I just see the confidence in Abraham. Verses 9 and 10, and the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swear to him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto a city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down by without, or on the outside of the city, by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, listen to this prayer. I always love to read this and ponder it. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. So he asked something very specific. He, not only will she submit or agree to the watering and to the water, but let me water your camels also. Something so specific. And he does this with confidence. Remember, if this is Eliezer, he's been around Abraham a long time. He's at least seen God working for a long time. And he demonstrates some confidence here in the God of Abraham. I know he can do this. And so he prays something so very specific. And you look on the surface, you say, well, it's not likely that that exact thing is going to happen. Why not? Why not? I've been criticized for praying in such a way where you call it throwing out the fleece or praying for open and closed doors. And my response is, why not? Why not pray in such a way where you are able to discern the will of God for you in your life at this time? And so he does this, and look what happens. Verse 15, it came to pass that before he had done speaking, he hadn't even finished the prayer, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born unto Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, eyes of the right family, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. She went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her. He's excited. Could it be? The first young lady that shows up, I haven't even finished praying yet. Could it be? And he ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also, until they have done drinking. Well, that must have made the servant just shout. You know, wouldn't you have kind of a fit right there? That's amazing. Thank you, Lord, you answered so quickly. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again to the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. The man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels of weight and said, "Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in?" And so we have already seemingly a great, looks good for a successful visit. The prayer very specifically answered right away. And we continue on in our reading in verse 24. "And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said moreover unto him, We have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." The damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. Now, so we quickly see that we know that this servant of Abraham has found the one. And it's further proven in chapter 24. She's willing to go. The family is willing to let her go. All the pieces of the puzzle fall together just like God had intended them to fall together. And at the end of chapter 24, beginning in verse 61, "And Rebekah arose." Now, a lot has transpired. They've prepared from her family, and they've left her homeland, and they've traveled back to where Isaac lives. And now Rebekah arose, and her damsels, they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well of Lehi-Roi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, It is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that had been done. Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. So we have this incredible story of Abraham being led of the Lord to send his servant back to the homeland, or back to his kindred. Abraham being led of the Lord to say some very specific things to the servant, and the servant being led of the Lord to pray a very specific prayer, and right on time, again, being led of the Lord, Rebekah walks up and is willing to not only give him water, but give the camels water. All the prayer is fulfilled right before he can even finish saying the prayer. Everybody at home is in tune to this. You know, her family could have understandably been skeptical, pessimistic. And yet, they saw the hand of God in this, and they said, well, okay. If she's willing to go, let her go. And she went. And they came to the place where Isaac was, and Isaac sees her and she sees him, and they get married, they're in love and live happily ever after. as they say, and it is just an amazing story of how God so intimately works on the details. How that God, in such very specific ways, the timing of Rebecca's going to the well that day, everything about it, you can see the hand of God orchestrating and working it all out to his desired end. And what there are two things that I really wanted to impress upon your minds tonight. Well, we'll go with three things. How marvelous our Bible is put together. How marvelously that our Bibles fit together. And that'll be seen in the third point that I'll talk to you about. But how marvelously the Bible fits together, weaving together this picture of ordinary people living their lives, blessed of God in amazing ways. And they're just living their lives, but God's working all of that together to his honor and his glory and to his desired outcome, because he's making a line to Christ. And Isaac's got to have some children. Isaac's got to have a son. And that line to Christ is going to be unbroken. And so Isaac's going to have a son. He's going to have to get married. And that wife can't be just from any old tribe either. It's got to be of the right stock. That wife's got to be the one. And she's in that lineage as well. And it's all going right to Christ. The marvelous way that our Bibles are fitted together are reflective of this marvelous story of Abraham sending the servant and Isaac getting a wife. But not only that, but how we see the Bible in the Old Testament. People, like I say, just living their lives, but portraying Christ. Because Isaac, we brought out last week, is a type of Christ. Isaac was that only son offered up. Isaac was beloved of his father. Isaac was willing to lay down his life to please the father. Isaac, here tonight, I told you last week, the next time we see Isaac in the Bible, he's getting his bride. And that's how we see Christ in the New Testament. The last time you see Christ, he's being offered up. Of course, he's on the earth another 40 days, I understand that. But basically, the last time we see Christ, he's being offered up and then he ascends into heaven 40 days later. And the next time we see Christ in the scriptures, we see him gathering his bride. And that's what happened here with Isaac. Isaac prepared a place for that bride. As Christ said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. Isaac didn't go get her in this story. He stayed back and prepared the place. And in a very real sense, he's there preparing that place now as the Spirit of God is gathering. And see, that's where the servant, or the servant comes in. The servant is out spreading the word. The servant is out just spreading the message of the Master. And the Spirit of God is moving upon all players, moving upon Rebecca, moving upon her family and all that. And then Rebecca, of course, a picture of the Lord's church. Rebecca is that pure virgin bride. She's of the right lineage, and she goes and follows her master without hesitation. She leaves her family, she leaves everything that she's familiar with, and seemingly does that, I mean, giving the scope of what she's doing, relatively easily. And someone that has truly been saved and added to one of the Lord's churches, it's easier for them to do the same kinds of things. to leave behind what they need to leave behind, to go to whatever place the Lord's called them, wherever that is, whatever that is, to just put the Lord first. It may not be that you leave geographically where your family lives, but it may be that you leave a lot of what you used to do and the things you used to do and the people you used to associate with in doing them. But it's no sacrifice, because the Lord's called you to a higher service. And so Rebecca can be seen here as a picture of the Lord's church. Isaac, again, continuing on that picture of the Lord himself, type of Christ. And they could have had no idea. Isaac and Rebecca, they're just a couple of real people living their life, trying to, on a daily basis, discern what God would have them to do and do the best that they can at living their life. And here yet we can look back and see the hand of God on them, and we can see how that God uses them to show us Christ and his church in the New Testament. We can see how marvelously God has authored this incredible book that in so many ways we could give you so many cross-references to bring you into the New Testament to show you how this pictures that relationship between Christ and his church. Unfolding plan, that unfolding drama of redemption just continues to unfold, just continues to be made manifest before us as we work our way through our Bible, as we work our way through Genesis, headed for Christ, headed for eternity. And so the Bible is showing us these things through everyday people. All right, so that's our thoughts for tonight. I really pray that, again, these simple and relatively brief thoughts remind us, every time we're together, remind us how amazing God is, how amazing his word to us truly is, how amazingly he has made it to fit together. And I pray that it whets our appetite to really ponder and consider and think and bathe ourselves in the word and bathe ourselves, our minds, in the thoughts that other people have written, good books that support the word of God, and good preachers that preach the word of God, and take every opportunity we can to listen to these and read these things and learn what other thoughts other folks have had. And it's always encouraging, always edifying when we're learning about this book. Can't go wrong. Let's be dismissed in prayer. We'll ask Brother Elmer to dismiss us and go to our prayer groups.